Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger. Pink Caster's back from Cuba.
Hola, amigos. ¿Cómo estás?
I think you picked up some Spanish.
Sí, señor.
Oh, God. I don't think you can turn it off.
No, señor. Ne parle inglés.
Can we start calling him Lopez?
Cula la madre de Rolo.
Zen Kaigan!
Broadcast! Loading!
Connect!
Watching all the anime! Redcaster! Show Raven!
Equipment Wielder! Bluecaster! Kushida's Azeal!
Loyal and Loud! Pinkcaster! Lightred!
Explorer from the Unknown! Yellowcaster! Autogar!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air! It's me.
Almost certain that's not an actual proper translation.
I don't care. Google Translate will have to do.
Chewy la madre de Rolo.
Meanwhile, some Spanish listener of our show.
I was about to say, I want that to happen.
Meanwhile, somebody who listens to our show who actually speaks Spanish is going to be like, "The fuck is wrong with you guys?"
They're just listening, and then they're just their one eyebrow just like raises really high, like, huh?
Like this?
Can't yeah.
Okay,
you did that really well.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. I'm back. You thought you saw the last of Pinkcaster. Oh no, I made it home okay. Yeah, well, I'm back from Cuba.
Think again, because here's Pink again.
I bought Fidel Castro hats for everybody.
And well, Che Guevara beret.
Well, that's nice to know, Wayne, but I only have one teeny tiny question.
What?
Can you please get off my legs?
No.
Please. I was laying on this couch.
Too bad.
I can't feel my legs.
Good.
That means you get robot legs.
Serves you fucking.
But yeah, so yeah, I was in Cuba for a week. I was with my family. We stayed in Havana. It was really cool. The food.
Apparently you ate dinner in some stranger local's home?
No, okay, so quick story on this. Just what happened was, we finally got there at 2 a.m. after waiting 2 hours for our fucking bags, and then an hour just to get money to get pesos, because you can only convert your money to pesos in Cuba. Because, you know, communist country and all
American
that.
American embargo.
Yeah.
That generally matters up here in Canada,
so,
but...
Around 2 a.m. we got to our, like, a place we were staying at, and then we were trying to see if there was something to eat, a place that we could eat. And so we really went around to the corner where there's, like, this area of restaurants, but they're all closed, obviously. And there's just a group of guys outside, and so my dad asked, like, "Hey, are you guys open?" And they're like, I guess their cooks are like, they work at a restaurant, so they were just like, "Yeah, sure." And like, the restaurants are also their homes, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
So they let you into the closed restaurant.
Yeah, which was their home, and we just sat at their dining room table. They made us food, we made friends, my brother got a free fucking ball of rum from them, and then we took a group selfie with each other, and it was fucking awesome. No, it was a great night.
Fun was had
no,
by
it was
all.
Fun. I got to swim in the ocean for the first time. The beach was fucking great. I now love daiquiris. They're fucking great. We got to sip coconut water out of actual coconuts with rum in them. And
I hear though that's really good.
Yeah, it was fucking good. And just the food was great. And you know, everyone was friendly. Like aside from the occasional someone asking you, "Hey, do you want to buy a cigar?" or just asking for money.
It's a tourist trap.
You want to buy a cigar? No, I can actually get those at home.
An actual Cuban cigar.
Also, I had hamburgers, and they were really
good. We can get those here.
Oh, okay.
It's not.
You want to know why everyone was so nice there?
Why?
Because remember what happened back in the 60s?
No.
What almost happened?
What, the Cuban Missile Crisis? That wasn't our fault, though. That was America's.
Are you sure that's not the reason? Because
Did they think you were
American? Actually, do you know what's something funny? I think it's changing soon, but apparently Americans, if they want to go to Cuba, they have to go to Canada and then fly from Canada to go to Cuba. But apparently that's changing because apparently in Cuba they're trying to get, like...
What idea is that?
I don't know. Cuban and American relationships are kind of, or at least they were back then.
I have another question.
What?
Why are we talking about this instead of Toku? I mean, really think of it. This is the last episode of this year until we go on vacation.
Because this is a Cuban podcast now, because I took over. Hail Fidel Castro.
Cube Sentai Cuban Ranger.
I love doing that!
Anyways, so this week we're talking about X-Aid Episode 10, Suojir Episode 41.
Oh, yeah.
And over a year overdue.
We did it.
We are wrapping up Decacember 2, the Decacembering, with Decaranger 10 years after.
I'm sad, though. I missed swap mode episodes. I would have loved to have seen that.
I mean, you can go back and watch them.
That's true.
I do still have...
Oh my god, you're right!
I had to catch up on X-Aid and Zoger, so... Anyways, X-Aid, let's go. Okay, so X-Aid level 10, but first I'm just going to give my quick thoughts on
level
10. Yes. I'm going to give my quick thoughts on episode 9. So, episode 9 was really cool. Taiga continues to... I fucking love him. I love that Dan was just, like, a complete asshole to him. Was just like, you don't get the gashit!
I want to know who's getting the gashit. Not you, lol.
And Emu continues to... I just like his character. I like him. And Hiro, I continue to fucking hate the more this show goes on because, God, is he a shitty fucking writer.
Wait,
I am sorry.
Wait, this is episode 10, right?
Yes.
No, he's still talking about 9.
Well, I'm just... Oh. Okay, well, now I'm getting into a rant about Hiro. Just... Hiro shit. He's such an asshole. He can't fight because he doesn't know how the whole video game thing works. And just every time he's on, he fucking gets his ass kicked. What? Hell, so much to the point that Emu took his sword and even used it better than he could.
You want to know why, Lane?
Why?
Hiro is supposed to represent the common man. He's the guy that doesn't...
Common man?
He's like a me.
No,
he doesn't
Gar,
play video games
Gar,
a whole lot.
He represents the common man, who's a fucking genius surgeon, apparently, and probably richer than everybody else in this show.
Yeah. Hiro, stop being a fucking writer and just stay being a doctor.
Oh my god, could that...
Save people that way.
No, the common man with years of formal hospital doctor training.
Could
right?
Can that be the thing? Wait a minute.
No, wait. He represents the common man.
That's what I said earlier, but you couldn't tell.
Wait a minute. I'm rich. Why don't I just pay them out? Here you go, guys. Just pay them money and they'll just leave.
Brave, you just paid it. It was very fast.
I'll pay you $1,000 for the level 5 gashit.
Also, I've gotten really extremely used to Dragon Knight Hunter Z.
I've also noticed
Drago, whatever.
No grunts in like a few episodes.
That's fine.
We've been busy.
You know what? In Monster Hunter, there are no grunts. You just fight a giant fucking creature. Well, okay, sometimes, but occasionally, no! Let me finish. At the end of the fucking stage, wherever the fuck you're doing, you fight one giant monster, and that's it.
Raven, the actual Monster Hunter player, giving...
Am I right?
Slanty look.
Am I fucking
there?
Right?
I mean, sure, yeah, but there's usually about... I'm not doing the slanty look anymore when you hook that picture to your back. No,
I'm not wrong.
See, at the end of the day, yeah, they still have fucking smaller monsters attacking you from the sides half the time while you're fighting the bigger monster.
Whatever. Anyways, I'm not wrong.
And in this case, it was graphite.
Okay, anyways.
Wait, what were we talking about?
Well, we're talking about X-Aid now.
So,
Episode 10.
So, Emu got knocked out of the game world, and based on what actually happens with these stage select worlds, I'm starting to piece together theories on what is actually happening. What I thought previously was that the stage select was creating a holographic arena where they exactly were, but because of these two episodes, and I've heard some characters in trailers for the movie saying, I'm sending you to the game world, I think what we're dealing with is a digital world scenario, where they're actually being transported into the world inside the games.
Would make sense considering two things that happened this episode.
Yeah.
So Emu got knocked out of the game world because he went fucking berserk with Drago Knight Hunter Zed. But Brave and Snipe are still in the game fighting Graphite. And for some reason, Snipe, the fucking shooter, is getting right up close.
Okay. I will say this, he's using miniguns. When you use miniguns long range, sure, like, it's still effective, but you can't control its aim, and literally the bullets just shoot everywhere. But if you fire a minigun up close, you will hit your target.
But he's got Brave tanking for him. He can just spray and pray from behind.
But Brave and fucking snipe each other.
And if he hits Brave,
even more.
And if he hit, and if he misses and hits Brave,
who cares?
Who fucking cares?
Exactly.
Well, remember, we're in a modern day where we don't use like practical things for bullets anymore. We just use fake lasers.
Yeah.
So it's like.
I mean, that's what the '90s Spider-Man cartoon did. There were no bullets in that show, only lasers.
Laser.
Also, Spider-Man never threw a single punch. He just kicked people.
So, the moral dilemma of this episode is teaching the characters to work as a team. Just like a team of doctors and nurses and anesthesians and such. And everyone gets on Emu's case because they're like, you don't trust your team, so of course you're not going to, you know, do what you need to do. Which brings up the obvious question.
I'm sorry, you want him to trust two guys who aren't actually part of the team and just show up, and one guy who's a complete fucking douchebag?
Hero doesn't recognize him as a doctor, Taiga's just a gashit happy asshole, and Kiria is a pathological liar who no one trusts!
Okay. But also,
Emu's the one with the problem for not trusting everybody.
Yeah!
I just realized this too, though. All four of our fucking writers are trying to do shit just on their own. Like, Tiger's just trying to be, like, the only common writer in the world by himself. Hero wants to get all the shit done by himself. Kirio wants to get all the shit done by himself. Emu wants, of all of them, wants to get all the shit done by himself.
We don't even know what the fuck Kirio wants at this point. His whole Pat line of thought this whole time has just been, what the fuck is going on? Why doesn't Emu need the surgery?
Well, yeah,
no.
That piqued curiosity.
Kiria's endgame goal, from what I have pieced together and from what he has said, is just, he wants to learn the truth about the whole Bugster infection.
Yeah.
He wants to know what it is, and probably potentially to find a way to put a stop to it. Just by his own means. Because of what happened to his friend.
Also, Emu had so much character development in this episode. Like, he shined through this entire episode. It was fucking great.
I love it.
I loved it.
I completely called how he was gaming everyone.
Oh my goodness.
It's like, wait, his personality changed and he's not playing a game. Oh, he's playing a game all right.
No, and
he gamed them.
I saw a theory that maybe that the genius gamer M is like, might be a Bugster part of him.
Which makes perfect sense, since he probably has Bugster inside him, which has been growing and manifesting for 16 years.
Yeah, so I think he's part Bugster, which that's kind of fucking cool.
Which would make sense, because Ryder has always been about using the same power source as the enemies.
Right? Yeah, I mean, Takumi was, Fives was a fucking Orphanok the whole time.
We've been through all that a bunch,
yeah,
but yeah.
I'm keeping overload.
But at very least, in the case of this, when the other personality takes over, he's fully aware of it.
It's more like the personality influences his decision-making. I don't think he actually is aware of it.
So it's like Two-Face from the Batman animated series.
Sure.
But just like the time this episode where you just saw him, his head just move up a bit, his eyes glow, and just did that smile, and I just went, oh, you're so cool.
And then he summoned Raymond.
But yeah, he fucking tricked everyone into just being like, so you're gonna give me the gashit, right? No, you said you were gonna give me the gashit. No, he clearly said I was gonna get the gashit.
Lol, come take it.
And then just Poppy's just like, oh my goodness!
Lol, come and fucking take it from me.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of Once a Ranger, where it's like, where all the villains come together. And it's like, oh, but our enemy's stronger. Or it's like, but our enemy's too strong. But we're stronger if we all work together.
Cue song and dance number.
Oh.
Also, I continue to hate Hero's dad.
Speaking of continues, I think we can officially call this the first time that Eggsaid clears a game with a continue. Since he got his ass kicked by himself.
Hey, you know what, though? That's because that time he didn't say his catchphrase.
Technically, he glitched the game, so he had to restart from where he left off.
That counts as a continue.
No, it doesn't. No, it counts as a fuck up.
He didn't say, let's clear this with no continues. He never said it.
Yeah, he didn't say it. The writers probably realized what they were doing and went, you know what, let's not have him say that this episode.
Because then we'll just fucking
make ourselves... Because if he did, we would have been able to call bullshit.
Yeah. Right? So, good job,
good catch. Good catch, Shriners.
So the reason they don't want to work with Emu is pretty same between Hiro and Taiga. They just don't like Emu. Kiria's reason for not trusting them is actually slightly different.
Yeah, no, but they all agreed.
Yeah.
It's just that fun little moment of how the fuck can you be X-Aid without having had the surgery? And Emu being confused as shit because he still doesn't know there was a surgery required because nobody has told him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Although, like...
And Kiria's exact comment to him is, it's like, you've had one surgery in your entire life. Did that doctor maybe perform the surgery on you without your knowing? I'm not going to trust a shady guy like that who doesn't know that he had an operation done to him without his own knowledge.
See, I think that sub was misworded.
I hope so.
I think what it meant to say was that he doesn't want to trust Emu in order to save the quote-unquote shady doctor because they were fighting Graphite to save Dr. Kyotaro.
I just want to point out the Bugster... that came out of the doctor...
was the Dragon Union.
That they destroyed last episode.
Which didn't fix Kyotaro. I noticed
that.
I did notice that.
That thing where suddenly, oh yeah, no, they had to take out Graphite to save him, even though Graphite wasn't the Bugster that came out of the doctor.
No, I completely understand, but I think the reason for that...
because he was using the Dragon 900 Z thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it was tied to him.
The Proto.
It was kind of funny, though, when Hiro's dad walks in to see him, the doctor, the dude, whatever, and he's like, oh no! He's fucking gone! The camera is... You're touching my face.
Oh.
Oh! Oh, okay, sorry.
You're still alive,
fucking,
sir.
I don't remember. Was this episode 9 or episode 10 where he got, like, the huge nosebleed? And he had, like,
episode 9.
That was last week.
Okay, yeah. Just the nosebleed.
Because they were
funny.
Trying to operate on him in the room, and Poppy kept pushing him out.
And he kept getting his nose smashed by the door.
Now I need a hospital! Wah-wah.
Yeah.
Well, now I need to go to the hospital. Oh, wait, I'm already there.
Could someone take me to the hospital? Insert comedy track laugh.
Yeah.
End of episode. Comrade Exit was recorded in front of
a live studio.
Also, I think Pilat and Dan are a gay couple.
I mean,
Pilat likes getting really, 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 really close to Dan, and Dan just kind of looks over and just smiles at him, going, oh, you.
Insert a Ron and Nikki moment from Avenue Q.
There you go.
Damn it.
So, we got some pretty awesome combo attacks this episode.
Oh, fuck, I'm doing that now.
Brave, Snipe, and Laser doing Doremifa, Jet Gear, Yuri Critical Finish at X8. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, every time they do just the shots where it just shows the mighty critical finish or whatever, I love that.
So, we were all wondering about how they were going to split the Drago Knight Hunter Zed Gashit into four for use. And I think they came up with...
virtual Gashit.
I think they came up with a very interesting solution to that problem. Only Egg States was real. The other three were virtual copies within the Digi World.
So that means... okay, first off, did you guys call it the Digi World?
Yes, I did. Fight
Digimon,
me.
Hey, Digimon.
Fight me, IRL.
I don't think the Dark Masters are going
to
like that. How you're referencing
the
Digi
boys and girls.
Or Digital World.
Which means that none of the other three of them can use Dragonite under Zed unless they're in a stage select level.
Or they're helping out XA, because in the preview for the next episode, it looks like Kiria is using Dragonite Hunter with XA.
But are they in a level, or are they in the city?
I think they're in the city.
Honestly, the preview next week looks like Dan's whole bullshit has been revealed, therefore Kiria was telling the truth, therefore XA is gonna start trusting him.
And the identity is... Dan. Yay!
No!
That guy we told, I told you it was a while ago.
And apparently he busted out the zombie gashit. I'm excited.
Because I guess he perfected it now with all the data they have.
Probably.
Episode 9 and 10 really showed me that I wish the Kimiwaza slot holder had...
Had
electronics in it, so you could just press the button and it would go, Stagey! Serectum!
And I can already imagine how they do it. Like, there should be a slot, a button at the bottom of the inside the slot where a gashit would push when it's in... And whenever there's no gashit in it, the button could have a function for a stage select.
Or basically have a switch on the bum, where it's like an...
Or the way I said, which will be way easier.
Or there could be a switch.
Well, if they ever make if they ever make a complete selection mod, if they ever make a CSN Beaver driver, they will do that. Because it's like with the DX Kabuto Zector, it never had working clock-up pads until the... CSM.
Just a tangent for a bit. Did you see that video Kevin linked about the Switch patents? Apparently it's got VR functionality. I'm excited.
Mario VR?
Maybe.
Also...
First person Mario.
Also, Graphite died and I was very sad because I liked
him. Yeah, we got all four Hunter Gamers, level 5. They're pretty cool.
That fight was Monster Hunter as fuck.
Yep.
And then I made the quote of Sword Art Online the Bridge. Alright, everyone. Follows every man for himself.
Hit it till it dies. No, and then Poppy at one point.
Welcome
like,
to Monster Hunter.
No, and then one point Poppy's like, "Oh my God, they're all working together." Brave and Taiga can proceed to argue with each other. Hey, I was gonna hit him.
Like I'm saying, that entire fight was Monster Hunter as fuck. Anyone who has ever actually done 4-player co-op in a Monster Hunter game. Understands perfectly. Everyone's essentially just running around doing their own thing for the most part.
Yeah.
There's no healer.
But still, because the fucking healer classes suck.
Exade was tanking, though.
Yeah.
He turned around and, like, took that fire blast like a champ.
Yeah, right, that's what they're arguing. They're like, what the fuck, man? Why don't you warn us next time we're gonna fucking do that? And then they just start
arguing. Fire breath. That too. But no, just everyone's off doing their own thing. Occasionally someone launches a giant attack that catches a couple of the other people in it, knocks them away.
Laser literally does the splits and falls.
It's like...
To get out of the way of Exate's fire blast.
I got a new joke. Basically, defeat Graphite. They're all cheering. Cut to South Park, mate. Love, not Warcraft. Where they're just on the computers. Yeah.
Yeah, just Randy at the Best Buy.
I have to say, I actually really like Exade's level 5 form with just the Fang.
Me too.
Way the fuck better than Full Dragon.
Oh, I like Full Dragon too, but... No,
I love Lasers level 5.
Also,
you're the only one who does.
The camera work in this show continues to just be fucking amazing.
Oh, you mean all the crane shots?
No, but I liked when, like, they're all just like, alright, we're gonna henshin together, whatever, like that, and it just goes, like, you know, Emu does his, Hiro does his, and then it just goes to Taiga and Kiria doing theirs together.
Could you just imagine the master shot of that, though? Just where the camera's just static, and they're all just fighting in the area. It's like, alright, now we have to do all the close-ups. Unhook crane. Vroom.
But yeah, they destroyed Graphite. I was actually surprised. I wasn't expecting. I'm like, wait, Graphite's dead. Gar's like, yeah, Graphite's dead. I'm like,
we knew this was coming. And because then actually, there was a
Graphite's not a major villain.
No, it's like, don't worry, Graphite will be back. I showed you the picture of Graphite holding his bouquet.
Yeah, when they give an actor a bouquet, they're done.
No, I didn't see that picture, so I was like, wait, Graphite's actually dead. Oh, I liked him.
Flowers for Graphite.
I liked his actor. His actor is fucking cool.
He wasn't.
And Pilat's just like, oh, Graphite, you suck. Alright, Dan, what are we going to do next?
Same thing we do every night, Pilat.
Try to take over.
Trick the riders into feeding us combat data.
Also, Dan is slightly turning more into Ryoma because, like, he kind of pulled the same thing that Ryoma did in Gaim where, you know, the game riders are just guinea pigs for something bigger.
If we lose them, we can just get more test subjects.
Yeah, and I'm just like, ooh. I'm like, you're really trying to be Ryoma, and I fucking love it.
He will never be Ryoma,
but he's trying to be a Ryoma, and I'm okay with that.
The only way he can top Ryoma is if he does the exact same death, but we see the corpse.
I would call him approaching Ryoma if he got a rider form with a very elegant cape like Duke had.
Now, who would win?
Ryoma.
We're gonna have a cape-off!
I don't know, cast your votes, audience. Who do you think would win a fight, Duke or Genmu? Duke.
No. Not just writers, but basically the character, Ryoma or Dan.
This is not just my favoritism talking.
He would just program... No, Ryoma would just, Ryoma would just program a fail-safe... No, Ryoma would just program a fail-safe in the gamer driver and then just press button. Oh, fuck!
Key presses.
Key presses.
So... After they kill Graphite, Palad takes the Proto Drago Zed Gashit for some reason. And
to complete his collection.
And then the four of them are just standing there like, well, who the fuck won? Draw! Lol.
Right.
Now yeah, Bobby's like, you just draw! You guys all won! And they're like,
but look, you guys were working together. You worked as an amazing team. And where are you all going?
No,
as they all fuck off.
No, legit hero,
around
where are
their
you
own
going?
Corners.
The ocean's that way. Where the fuck are you going?
You know what would have been the perfect way for Kiri to exit the scene? Just transform into level 2 and just vroom.
Right? Well, no, I just
fuck
love
this
how
shit on up.
I just love how they managed to be standing on a fucking area that had like three completely different paths set.
That
to
was probably
off.
Completely on purpose.
No, 100%. The people who figured out who selected that place.
Spoilers, Hero's path didn't have an actual path off. He was just hiding behind the building.
Right?
Okay. I'll give Hero one thing though.
Taiga and Kiria's pathways actually met around the other side of the building. So
then they went for burgers.
So they went they just walked really awkwardly in silence down the street together.
I will give one thing to Hero this episode though. It was cool just seeing him sitting alone, and then like he took out the picture of him and Saki, and he's like,
oh, he misses her.
He's like, I miss you. I'm like, oh, so you do have some shed of feelings.
It's just
okay.
Like, it's like I have avenged you,
or have I? Or am I?
Now what?
Yeah, it's like
I have avenged you. And now the loneliness really sinks.
No. But no, now then he'll realize
now that I don't have anything to occupy my mind with.
No.
Now it sinks in.
No, but then he'll realize that Graphite was a bugster and Dan was the one who made the bugsters accidentally, and then he'll be like, I need to destroy Dan! Dan's the reason my girlfriend's dead!
No, it's like, I have now avenged you. Now I gotta go find the dragon.
No. Pretty
much.
I've avenged you. Now I'm gonna go eat cake.
Sure. So
revenge is bittersweet.
So we see Dan mentioning something about the quote-unquote test phase being over, and then we see a computer screen that highlights on Brave, Snipe, and Laser the Kimiwaza slots, and then on Exade his chest. My guess is that's where their bugsters have been administered.
Oh.
Like, it's probably, like, just in the side of their...
Oh, if they all have, like, bugster forms, that'd be fucking dope.
Also, on the screen when they were doing that, though, those were their level 5 forms.
Yep.
And the placement of the dragon portion of it altered a little bit when he hit the button.
I think... Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what I was saying earlier is the little boxes that highlight on each of them... On Brave, Snipe, and Laser, it was like around the side of their hip where their Kimiwaza slot is.
Well, in the case of Brave, in the case of Brave and Snipe, though, for that, the dragon parts are on the side.
No, I know, but the little box that was highlighted on each of them was pointing to their hip area, except for X-Aids, which was highlighting on his chest.
Which is where the fang is, because it's covering his head and
chest.
No,
I know, but I think that because X-Aids... quote-unquote, surgery was not exactly the official procedure. I think that the sides there for the other three are where they had their surgeries, because it was an official procedure.
But since his was life-saving surgery,
he probably
in his chest,
put it in his heart.
Yeah.
Or somewhere nearby.
Which is why shit works a little differently there.
Yeah. So, next week, Dan gets found out, dangerous zombie gashit happens.
I love this. I love like the shot we saw of, like Dan about to transform, and he looked so like I need to fucking do this.
like
or
he
I'm
was
gonna be
about
fucked.
To get killed.
Yeah.
The other thing that they brought up was that the only game left to clear is Shakariki Sports.
Yep.
Oh.
That's an interesting plot point that will probably come up next episode.
Or next.
Well, now
year.
We have to deal with the Black Exit because he has that.
Yeah.
Anyways, now I can go back to doing my regular thing.
missed you.
I missed that too.
I think we all missed that.
I did. Now Davey can't fucking say shit anymore.
Just keep in mind, there's about a month and a half of that left, and then you're gonna have to figure out something new.
Ichikita!
Ichikita! Yay!
No, Ichikita! Ranger.
Keep all that in!
Alright, so JoJo episode 41, but quickly, I'm just gonna go over my thoughts on episode 40 real quick. I loved it. It was amazing. Leo continues to be fucking awesome. He was a great senpai in this episode, and I love the monster. Didn't like the little butterfly thingy on the front of him.
Time. Alright, new episode.
But anyways.
It wasn't a butterfly. It was really, really popped lapels.
Oh, okay.
This
has been another Lightred minute.
Yeah. Yeah,
Matt. Pop your collar. But yeah, Leo continued to prove that he's like my favorite character and he's a badass. So fuck all you Leo haters.
This episode was fun.
Good. Anyways, episode 41.
Azald is lonely.
Azald's lonely. Misao got his fucking ass kicked.
He walked into the fog and found a wild Digimon.
Yeah.
Found a wild Genesis.
That feeling when you walk into the fog, find a wild Digimon, but it's a Mega.
No, that moment Shit. When you're playing Pokemon Go and then you spot a Pokemon that you've never, like, seen yet.
It's an Ultra Beast.
And the CP is way too high.
No, and just... But
it's
I
an
felt,
Ultra Beast.
I felt so sorry for Misao, though, because he just got, like, huge PTSD. Like, he had PTSD, Vietnam flashbacks, just, like,
literally,
everything.
Literally, Genesis is Trigger.
Yeah, he got triggered. And just
and then Yamcha feels sad about it afterwards.
If only I had distracted him.
Well, no, it's like if only I actually talked to him, in which it reminded me of Brigitte Biffia a bit.
And so, like, he decided to try.
Except
to...
this wasn't imaginary bullshit.
No, but you know how like he was like in Brigitte Biffia, the main character was going to a museum. He dropped by his friend's place, but he never like actually acknowledged her on asking. But by the time he comes back, something bad has happened. So it's kind of like the same thing.
Yes.
Yamato acknowledged me, like, acknowledged
Yamato
me was there, but
then Yamato escaped into
didn't.
His dream forest.
Dream.
Forest.
Forest.
So Misao gets his ass handed by not actually Genesis.
Not Genesis.
Oh my fucking
And then
God.
His Kubar with his kooky clones aplenty plan lures his Zamodras to... Gala Mansion, which is just a giant fucking trap mansion on top of a mountain overlooking a quarry for some reason.
Where the fuck did Kubar get that?
He cloned it from someone's memories. Someone taps the walls and the whole house poofs. Because every one of these clones have 1 HP, as we've seen time and time again.
Alright, so let's see here. So Kubar's plan was to get Azald distracted. So he gets lost. Well, he has no eyes, so he is going to get lost.
He has but eyes.
He kidnapped...
What
okay.
the fuck don't I have eyes?
All right, so step one, kidnap Narya. Step two, clone Genesis. Step three, clone Azald. Step four, clone all of Team Azald. Step five, make it so that the clone of Genesis somehow magically vanishes so that the real one comes in with the fate. With the fake one. Step six. Oh, shit. I've gone cross-eyed.
Step one. Find plans. Step two. Save world. Step three. Get out of my house.
Step seven.
Profit.
Step eight. Profit. You ruined it. Anyway.
10 points
okay.
to anyone who knows what that quote's from that I said.
I'm going to say this. Kubar was amazing in this episode. His acting was fucking superb.
Well, not his acting, but his voice
acting. Okay, his voice acting. It reminded me of Sid from Guy when, like, in his last moments. Because, that was so good.
If only Kubar got squished between racks.
Yeah.
No,
Kubar,
but Kubar's...
Kubar energy squash.
Kubar's definitely going the tarantulas route.
Oh, yeah.
Where some, I think he's just going to explode.
Yeah. He's going to explode.
With only Bond Gray's hand left.
No, and then he comes back and you just see him as the hand and he just goes, I live!
But yeah, Raven and I were talking about this earlier. It's just fucking amazing how quickly Kubor goes from
to
What was that? The nostalgia
You know what? That's the name Homer of the episode. Simpson that's the name of the episode screaming. Title.
No, that was the best part. We're basically like,
no, it's Genus is my trigger.
Sure, yeah, Genus is my trigger, and just you have to show a picture of just Misao, like afraid Misao, and then just red tint over him triggered.
So in which but yeah, Kubar's plan is for the Zoologers to take down the real Genus, because we find out in this episode the reason why Genus stays on the
Sagittarii
arc. Yeah, the Sagittarii arc is because it's keeping him alive, practically.
Not keeping him alive, it just makes him stronger.
Well, that. But then, when he comes...
Maybe he has something where he needs constant power flow to actually stay alive. We don't know that.
He drains power from his surroundings.
Well, that's not strictly true, because his theory was that he would not have a power source outside of the ship.
Yeah. But then he freaking had a way to tap into the Earths.
Yeah.
Because of data from Cube Whale.
The memory device that they extracted from Gift.
So yeah, basically what happens is, like, Kubar tells the Zoologers, oh, team up with me and we can end Genus once and for all. And Misao's like, okay.
I totally knew that Misao was fake the whole time, the minute he was not panicky when they saved him.
Yep.
And then he's like, yes, we need to cooperate with Kubar and fight Genus.
Oh my god, he's a fucking clone.
I didn't realize that.
No,
congratulations, Lane, you're the target demo.
Oh, I didn't get it either.
Congratulations, Gar, you're the target demo.
Yay. But it's like, it makes sense. It's like, well, yeah, maybe Kubar might just leave if we kill Genus.
Well, I mean, I don't know if there's any interest in
destroying
I
see them,
here.
Like, surrounded by, like, the surrounding Genus and stuff, and I'm just looking at him, I'm like, guys, he's the main villain of the show! You stand no fucking chance!
Tell that to Ninja.
And that was true before he changed forms.
No, but Kiboni Genghis was fucking shit.
But yeah, so, they all wail on Genus and where he takes the data from Zuo.
Before he transforms, I just like how, like, so yeah, all the monsters are teaming up on him and the Zoologers are also teaming up on him. So they pull out their blaster weapons. Come on, guys, let's use our weakest possible attack on the final boss.
Right?
That'll definitely work.
Yup.
But,
oh my god, it didn't work!
And then he uses the data of that they got from Gift 2 to transform. In which he's like, oh, now I'm powered from the Earth. Wait a minute. So if he's powered by the Earth, he's going to get stronger.
Yeah.
Over the course. So is he a Zeo Ranger then? The powers just keep getting stronger?
I don't know.
He truly is the world.
It depends. At the end of the season, is he going to suddenly change to a vehicle theme?
Yes.
So,
no, he's going to show Magna Beam.
So yeah, let's talk about Shin Genus. Genus, whatever.
I love it.
I
think it's better than bulky armor skirt.
Power-wise, unquestionably better. That fucking salvo of energy blast was awesome.
And I like that little technique he did to, like, both sides of Kubar's head.
Oh yeah, his, like, twin laser shirt.
I literally thought his head was just going to, like, split open and then just fall on the ground. And then I was going to be like, oh my god.
That would have been way too brutal for
That
would have
been way
guy.
Too brutal, Poor but I was picturing it in my head.
But yeah, so while Shin Genus power-wise is amazing, I have to say, I probably mentioned when we first saw the scans, I'm kind of disappointed appearance-wise.
No.
I feel like there should have been way more under that suit of armor he was riding. I vastly prefer
No, how I like to picture it is that armor he was wearing underneath him that, like, went into his body, and that's why
he's... No, he cast off!
Oh, whatever. I don't fucking know. I thought that the armor folded out into the wings. That was my next thought. I know I'm
sure
wrong.
I think that's what we're supposed to believe.
Yeah, that's what I think. They folded out into wings.
Here's my problem, though. He went from something unique and interesting to something generic as fuck.
No, but I think it works for him.
Holy shit, was it badass, though.
Yeah,
like, what it did, sure, but appearance-wise,
I disagree.
We've had better final bosses.
I've seen better final bosses.
Well, you've seen more Sentai than all of us, so
yeah.
I fucking hope so.
Yeah, but he's...
Oh, trust me. Go back to the 90s, like, early 90s.
Honestly, the coolest final
superstar.
The coolest final form I've ever fucking seen of a boss is freaking Zed. Zed was fucking awesome.
Just go watch Jetman's finale.
Go watch Two Cuture.
Go watch something.
Go watch any Sentai that's not Die Ranger or Ninja.
Fuck you, Die Ranger's cool.
You know how the Continue Metals are made from Genesis cells?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we saw proof of that because he shot a beam at three of those monsters.
And just made them big instantly because, yeah, no. Hey, I'm the reason they've been able to do that.
Yeah, but you questioned that when we were watching it. And I'm like, well, think of it. The cells come from Genesis, so...
Yeah.
Makes sense that he can just have the ability to make people
grow. But he made them grow big so they could squish Kubar, and then he's like, oh, he's too small of a target to fucking hit.
And also destroy the city.
Yeah. And then they decide... And then
they maggots.
They bust out the base Megazords and swap the legs around halfway through the fight and Dodekaio, and they just throw their final attacks.
And then they're like...
And then we see where Misa really is, and he's tied up under a bridge.
Also, we see Bardo.
Really hard, which was really weird to see.
Yeah, and then just...
It's like, I'm sorry, Kubar, did you really... You really think that was the greatest way to get them to help you out?
Yeah.
And he didn't even tell them.
Well, he didn't expect them to find out that the world was a clone.
And also, Vazald found...
Vazald finds Cube Zebra, completing his set along with Owl, Cheetah, and Platypus.
You mean Bard found it.
Bard.
And then Vazald finds Bard.
And then Bard's triggered by him because he's like, you're made of cubes.
Cubes are my trigger!
Yeah, someone actually finally questioned what the fuck Azald is, and I'm like, you know what?
He's a golem.
Ichi a long time ago said that, like, oh, it would be funny if Azald was, like, some, like, ancient golem that, like, guarded the Glint Cube or something in Zooland. That might be possible.
No. Space Zooland. Zooland.
What's Zooland's in space? Sure.
Right next to Space Japan.
Zooland exists in an alternate dimension, not out in space.
It's an alternate Earth.
Which is really interesting that we have a Sentai that addresses outer space and alternate dimensions.
Like I said,
I don't think we've touched on that too much.
No, but like I said, some real Spider-Man Unlimited shit.
Sure. So, next week is Zuo Bird versus Azald and Zuo Whale versus Kubar.
Also,
I guess they're angry for the deception.
Also, Yamato has daddy issues.
If that's his daddy.
It's probably his dad.
It
probably is.
Basically, in the preview, it's trying to acknowledge that, oh, we finally find out about Yamato's father. In which he might be pissed off that he followed in his uncle's footsteps. Or in his sister's brother's footsteps.
Someone's.
I don't know. What? Oh, no. Uncle Mario's, like, is Yamato's... A mother's brother, so what would that make Yamato's father to him?
His brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be it.
We've done it. We've cracked the code. Families.
I'm not good with families.
Moving on!
And God, hope you never have children. I'm just kidding, Gar. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Richard Topper.
So, time for backstory.
No.
Last year, we were supposed to talk about Deck Rangers 10 years later.
That's why we started Deck December in the first place.
Yes. But then something happened. A little thing called Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
In which me and Lane weren't there. So I was like, you guys can't talk about this. Talk about the summer movie.
And I was like, fuck you. Let's talk about it anyway. And then everyone else outvoted me.
Yes. So... That's why this year, we're not, newsflash, we're not recording this on a Friday, we're recording this the day before, because me and Lane aren't going to be here because, get this, Star Wars again.
Yeah, we're going to see Rogue One, motherfuckers! Woo!
So we were like, you know what, we're not waiting another fucking year, we're doing this now. This is Deck Rangers 10 years after, not later. After, it's fucking amazing.
It's Deckaranger 10 years later, 1 year later, but also 1 day before.
Yes.
11 years, 0.1 day after.
11 years later, minus 1 day.
525,600 minutes.
Rick and Morty, 100 years.
Deckaranger 100years.com /
But here's the question, though. Deckaranger versus Gavan. Can we do Deckcember 3?
No.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Okay.
What the fuck else is there we can watch for Deckaranger?
More episodes!
Let's see here. We have the Aberranger crossover. We have the Hyper Battle video.
We watched the Aberranger.
That was a hypothetical question!
No, we didn't.
Moving on to the actual discussion, please.
No. Alright, but yes, this is Deckaranger's 10 years after
So it is actually 10 years later in the movie.
Yeah, in which we find out... Oh,
everyone's gone their separate ways.
Yeah, in which
Bond... Well, except for Sen Chan and what's-her-face.
Yeah, Bond's with the Fire Squad. Hoji...
Is a hobo.
Is doing his own research.
He's gaming a lot.
He is a hobo! Yeah.
He has been playing computer games on the computers at the base.
That man that is playing Galaga!
That is what we get told at the beginning of the movie.
He thought we wouldn't notice, but we did.
Well, let's see here. Jasmine's married with a kid, which, it's actually a fun fact, that is her... real life kid.
No, and apparently according to what we saw in the backstory, she married like this teenager she saved
during the show.
Yes,
which is kind of weird.
Decker Ranger did that, and so did SPD did that.
So Jasmine's a cougar.
Ew.
No, because we don't. Okay, you know what? I'm gonna look up fucking Jasmine's actor.
Sure, you
do. Alright, let's see here.
Because yeah, look up her age because holy fuck, did she not? In the 10 years.
She was the one who noticeably aged the least.
Yumiko. Like I didn't notice at all. I just looked at her, was like, you haven't changed in 10 years. Holy shit.
Well, let's see here.
Yumiko, like, either you have taken wonderful care of yourself, or the makeup department is amazing.
Or both.
But, Sen-chan and Yumiko are still part of SPD.
Because they got nowhere else to be.
And so Tetsu has been... You know,
Tetsu got a badass jacket and became acting chief.
Yeah, because Doggy Kruger
is in a hospital bed in a coma.
In a coma for 2 years.
After getting shot and blamed for a criminal bribing deal.
Okay.
We saw that and I'm just like, no! Okay. Impossible!
So, apparently, Jasmine's actor was born in 1982, which made her 23 when she did Decker Ranger in 2005. Which means she'd be 33 in the 10 years later special.
Not bad.
So, now if I can find out what the kid's name was.
But you know who has aged a lot?
Who?
Swan.
Honestly, oh my god, yeah.
She didn't look too much different.
No, it's the fucking bangs underneath her
eyes. The bags
eyes.
Under the eyes.
She still kind of had that.
Visibly kind of wrinkled compared to the show.
She still didn't look too much different than the show.
It's just,
she was already older than them.
God.
You know who else?
Oh, God!
You know who I think aged the most noticeably? Umeko. I barely recognized her.
Well, that's what happens when you're married to Red Racer and then get divorced.
Ooh.
Also, Lane found out that...
He went too fast.
Yeah. Fuck it, I'm making the quote. Red Racer's fast. No, wait. Red Racer's foes. Oh, fuck, I can't remember. Fuck it!
Come back to that.
Yeah,
okay, well, anyways, this kid, like, it doesn't say what his actor's age is, but he looks like 14,
That's probably how he was in Decker Ranger, though.
So... Which means she's 33 and he's like 24 or something. So wow.
Cougar.
Yeah, so? Yeah.
Dude, look at Goku and Chi Chi. Wait,
no, Goku was like Goku was like 10.
Yeah.
They were both kids.
When they met in Dragon Ball, they were pretty much same age.
Alright, hang on, I need to think of a better comparison.
Anyways,
whatever.
So
Doggy and Swan.
Yeah.
Or Dougie and Swan.
And yeah, Bon Bon joined the Fire Squad at the end of the show, and he's still there.
Yep.
And replacing him and Jasmine on the team are two new Rangers, Asamu and Mugi.
In which Asamu, from Hibiki.
Asamu is played by the kid who played Asumu in Hibiki.
Because he's like, well, they're not going to make me come back for a Kamen Rider summer film. Might as well do something with my
life. Well, I couldn't become Hibiki like Hibiki wanted me to, so look it, I'm a decorator.
I went and got a real job.
Suck it, Hibiki.
I am now on the space police.
We were joking that wouldn't it be great if, like, they worked for the actor who played for Hibiki?
No, there should have been an inside joke to, like, his character from Hibiki.
But, okay... So, we find out that Tetsu's now the leader, boss of the Earth Branch.
The acting chief.
Yeah, acting chief.
Because the case with Kruger was never closed.
But Tetsu looked fucking awesome. Like, I loved his uniform. I liked just how he looks because God knows I fucking hated that he had Bon Bon's hair and whatever in the last special we watched.
Magi Ranger versus Deck Ranger.
God damn it, never again.
That was the joke. Bon Bon and Tetsu switch hairstyles.
God, and Tetsu looked horrible with it.
Even like at the end of the movie when everything's all wrapped up, I'm just like, and I'm just thinking Tetsu's over there thinking, you know, I'm keeping the jacket.
Yeah. No, just... Hey, the jacket isn't part of my uniform. It's just a thing I'm wearing. So I'm going to keep doing that.
I buy it at Space Best Buy.
Space Best Buy.
Oh, my God.
I've been watching the Frieza Saga from Team Four Star. Everything's... Yes, you add the word space to it.
Watch out for space dingoes. They'll eat your space babies.
So we meet another officer of SPD's Galaxy Branch, Kite Radlick. That name is fucking awesome.
In which he is from the planet where, get this, that's where they do Judgment Time.
Because Judgment, it takes 10 seconds okay, to judge.
Okay, I'll explain it a bit.
The time is distorted on that planet.
Yeah, basically, whenever in the Deck Ranger series where they had Judgment Time, it would that signal would be transmitted to the Judgment Planet where it would actually be settled in court for 8 months. But 8 months on there is like
10 seconds.
10 seconds off planet, so it's like the hyperbolic time chamber.
So whenever the Decker Rangers were issuing judgment on a criminal, there was an actual 8 month trial happening somewhere else in space.
Yep,
that's fucking amazing. I love that they actually went to the trouble to put an explanation in for that.
Some serious hyperbolic time chamber shit going on there.
Yeah.
Goku needs to go to that planet and train.
Yeah. No, we build a hyperbolic time chamber in that planet.
Right?
But build a hyperbolic time chamber in a hyperbolic time chamber.
But just have it muted so one day out here is one day in there.
Go watch DBZ Bridge, people. It's fucking hilarious.
Go watch Dragon Balls. That's an awesome anime.
Yes, please support the official release.
So, there really isn't too much to talk about. It turns out that...
The Deca Base.
Deca Base is just the head. And everything else is underground.
That's amazing.
Because Broodwing fucking took over the
time
actual
except for backstory. So, at the end of Deca Ranger, Agent Abrera took over Deca Base with his grunts and basically annihilated Megalopolis, which is their...
Megalopolis.
No, that is the name of the city that the Deca Rangers patrol in.
Wow.
So in which they decided, fuck it, our base is now underground, and the Megazord head is the entrance.
So now we can't do Megazord. Yay.
Yeah.
Well, the Deca Base Megazord. So
that's fine. We have better ones now.
I like that to distinguish the two new Rangers in the team, they made their base forms with the SWAT armor, which kind of harkens back to, or not backslash forward, whatever, to Kyoryuger's 100 Years Later special, where the base forms of the children in that movie had the armed-on metal armbands on their base suits to differentiate the fact that they were different.
Actually, no, Kyoryuger 100 Years After came before this.
Well, my point is, it's the same concept used where it's the same suit but a different user, so we make the base form the power up. You know what I mean?
I mean pizza.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, the plot of the movie revolves around an alien named Carrie who has the power to hide herself inside people. So there was a whole lot of get inside me jokes.
And apparently, like the first time she actually did it was she got inside her father. And I was like,
gross.
Hey, at least your father didn't get inside her.
Gross.
Hashtag gross.
Ew.
Ew.
Oh my god. So it's really not worth getting into abstract or fine detail with regards to their plan, but they escort her to a planet, and the ship gets attacked, and
It's the same fucking ship crash that was in episode 32
of Deca Ranger. Asumu Mugir Evil.
Oh. Who could have seen that coming?
Hey, you know what's funny? Seeing Asumu being like evil, trying to be evil.
Way was, over the top.
Yeah,
evil.
Over the top and kind of silly. Yeah.
The generic evil Japanese kind of guy.
No, considering that the last time we saw him, he was this awkward fucking teenager who did not know what the fuck he wanted to do with the rest of his life.
He grew a pair of balls.
If I don't get to be Oni, I'll be a bad guy.
Sucks me, you. become an Oni, or I kill your mother. Joke's on you.
But no, there's a scene where like they go to like this factory or something like that, or warehouse, and then like we find out who's behind everything. And literally, I was expecting it to just be Hibiki. And just, yo.
The villain was silhouetted throughout the movie, and we kept referring to him as the reindeer Seijin.
Yeah, Raven just was like, it's the reindeer Seijin.
I just kept calling him that because he looked like he had fucking antlers in the friggin' silhouette.
And lo and behold, it was...
It's the Galaxy Branch Chief.
Yeah, and I kind of thought it was him because I saw, he had the same, color scheme. So I was like, oh, is it the other guy? So...
You know, I don't think they ever explained why he did all that, though.
Maybe. I don't know. Because he hated Doggy.
Maybe.
It was... No, this was all just so...
No, he was a corrupt official working for an intergalactic mafia.
Oh, yeah.
And Doggy stumbled across the deal and figured out who he was. The whole thing was set up to frame Doggy for all of it.
Also,
the
greatest thing in this entire movie, at least for me, was Jasmine got the power of teleportation thanks to breastfeeding her son.
Yeah, so the kid that she married had teleporting powers, which was then passed on to their child. Yeah, because they're both Espers.
Which was then passed on to her via breastfeeding.
So...
And then the narrator got pissed off because he was supposed to explain it.
So we have a case of the world and universe and was saved through the power of breastfeeding.
Yes.
Ew.
I'm going to say this right now. I actually really want to watch Decaranger now because, fuck, these are a fun cast of characters. Like, they really are.
Because they're cops.
Not even that, just they're all unique. And that's what I like in a Sentai team, is when they're all fucking unique. Like, just, that's why I like the Tokusers, because they're unique. The Zojers, they're unique. The Ninjas were okay.
So, throughout the whole movie, it looks like Hoji's just a video game playing hobo locked up in his office, but of course he was spending the whole time looking
and the dog. And Bon being Bon Bon fucking just saw right through his bullshit.
Hey, like, you playing video games. That doesn't sound like you. What are you really up to?
And there was a really cute moment where they all get reunited and just he goes to Hoji and he's like, hey, isn't that right, partner? And they're all looking at him like, you gonna say it? You gonna say it? He's
say
like,
the line.
You know, he's
say
like,
the line.
He's like, you know, he's like, yeah. And they're like, aww.
Oh, damn it. Gotta empty my shot. Yeah, that was the thing. I did a drinking game with this movie. My drink is empty. It's empty.
Oh, the narrator said something.
That's a 2-liter bottle of Coke.
It's empty. Okay, yes, it was halfway through. But still, it's empty.
And now you have diabetes.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Diabetes caster. Betus caster.
Empty.
There.
But yeah, I went the whole movie knowing that it had to be a setup because there's no way Doggy Kruger could be a bad doggy.
Hey, finding out Bon Bon was that chick the entire time was fucking.
Hey, remember how the very second we got a view of that fucking guy with the antlers and the silhouette, I was like, it's a shape shifting alien took Doggy's form and fucking did a thing. I was partially
right. Which was kind of... It wasn't actually shape-shifting. They just had better Mirage...
There was an illusion thing built into the Deca phone...
The SB licenses.
...thing. Yeah.
No, and I knew it too, because, Bon Bon was like, oh, Doggy would never do something like that. I'm like, no, he wouldn't do something like that.
Bon Bon, you're not from the Earth branch. Originally, so how do you know?
Well, because true. he spent a year with him.
He worked with him the entirety of that... Of the show.
Still, he doesn't know his past.
I'm sure he does. That's anyways, so... Giant Abrera clone. From nowhere.
Because fuck it, we need him in as a cameo.
Because fuck it, we have the suit.
Because fuck it, we need a Megazord fight in this Sentai movie.
Do we?
Yes.
Do we?
And all because the stock footage!
Because the majority of that Megazord fight was stock footage from the show.
Hey, I like
that was new.
There was that one new shot of the Megazord fucking attacking him, like, doing two hits.
Yeah, clone
and then
Broodling.
We did stock footage finisher, and it's over.
Hey!
And Frieza's voice actor gets paid a shit ton for saying three lines.
I got to see CGI jumping to the side, which I always fucking love. Because I just like I like Deca Ranger Robo.
Strafe roll.
That's actually funny. This movie... Wait a minute, 10 years ago. So 2014. So yeah, this came out right before Resurrection F.
Yep.
That's funny.
That was a warm-up.
And Ninja was still airing, I believe. So.
Bleh.
Bleh.
No,
so,
it was Tokuger.
So Deca Master shows up and tosses his sword, and Bon Bon uses his Raging Ken to finish off.
That was explained in an episode of Deca Ranger.
Yeah. So this movie was filled with a lot of references that we would have gotten if we'd watched the whole show.
Which I want to do, so.
And then the movie ends with Doggy finally confessing his love to Swan.
And then Swan's like, you dummy, I've always known that, and I love you too. And he's like, oh, and then just literally, like, they're all, like, cheering him on, and then he just turns around and goes, oh!
Excuse me, I have to go howl at the moon now.
Yeah, and then...
and then cue the 10 years after version of the end of theme song.
Oh, you know what else we didn't mention? Mm-hmm. At the very start of the movie, the monster that was, the alien that was running away from the monster was that... that red grill-faced monster who sings the ending theme.
Chances are it looks like a microphone.
Yeah.
Chances are it's probably the same VA.
Yeah, because he came back and did the ending.
Yeah, he did do the ending.
So, awesome. Sure.
Also, we got to see, like, Bon Bon's like, oh, I need to leave, because if I don't leave, I'll never be able to come back.
Oh, no, but there was a cool way on how they defeated the villain. Judgment time. Just that judgment time in high definition.
Judgment time.
Judgment time.
Clean rip.
Also, a really cool bass shot of, like, Tetsu just, like, standing, looking over to the side with his, like, coat waving in the wind. And I'm just like, oh, you're so cool. And then, literally, he, like, looks over. He's, like, Bon Bon's about to leave. And he turns around and looks at Hojo. And he's just like, ain't that right? Oh, Hoji's like, ain't that right, partner? And they're like, and he's just like, don't call me partner. Don't call me your partner, and
he's
tries
like,
to, like,
what?
Jump kick
no,
him.
No, I just love that look where it's just like, no, guys, what the fuck? Come on, I'm used to this now. I actually am okay with it. Fine.
Except, don't call me partner. Except now would be a fine time for him to actually say, don't call me partner, since they were not actually partners
actually,
in the last few years.
Time for backstory. In the final episode, when they're taking back Deca Base, Hoji did finally call him his partner.
I should hope so.
But then Bon Bon shouts at him, don't call me partner! And then goes off to defeat Agent Abra.
And then Bon Bon flies into space in his car!
Also, Bon Bon breaks the fourth wall.
Well, yeah.
Actually, I don't think that was just any space car. I think he stole the red sword.
That is the red sword.
Yeah,
it's
so
the control car.
He stole it. So how the fuck else? How are they gonna make that Ranger Robo?
He didn't steal it. He's the one who brought it in the first place
episode.
Well,
that's true.
That's his vehicle.
I believe it's called the Pat Striker.
It's the Gokaiger version.
Overall, this was actually a really cool movie. This kind of made me really like Deca Ranger a lot more. So because like it's a great cast of characters. It's great that they all reunite again. Fucking love Senchan, because Senchan the entire time was just fucking
I just love
great.
How he got into his handstand pose to figure out the plan mid-battle.
While deflecting a sword with his feet.
No, and I love it, because I remember this is a thing that goes on in Deca Ranger. It's just like, whenever Senchan just figured shit out, they're all like, yeah, it's our Senchan!
Oh yeah, there was a ton of acknowledgments. The handstand, the bathtub,
I was about to say,
the catchphrase,
bath scene.
Yeah, the catchphrases, the narrator.
I'm like, there was so much narrator, I was actually disappointed that when they did the Henshin, there wasn't the explanation about the Deca Metal.
And they said face on, so whatever.
Well, yeah, that's part of the Henshin.
And Murphy was there.
Murphy!
Good old Murphy. But yeah, so this is a cool movie. And thus, Decasember is over.
If you watch Deca Ranger, strongly recommend.
Yeah, go watch. It's cool.
And thus, that ends us.
So what are we doing next week?
There is no next week.
We have finished another year of Cast Ranger.
Oh, yeah.
We are to announce to the people, we are going on a 2-week break in which we will be back, if you scroll down in the notes.
With a quadruple episode.
No, scroll down. We will be back
triple,
on
but yeah.
January 6th, I believe.
The weekend of the 6th.
Yes.
To talk about how we spent our winter vacation.
Yeah, and then we'll be just...
Double episode specials for weeks.
Well, and we'll probably talk about the Mock Hard movie.
2 weeks.
Because it's subbed.
After we get through the double episodes.
Yeah, we're going to have to go through the double episodes. We're not going to go through all the news that happens throughout the throughout our 2 week break.
Just major importance.
Yeah, just the big highlights.
Okay.
We're going to be spending time with our families and with our loved ones, which are mutually exclusive. Get year clear!
Year clear!
So, as always, thank you all for listening.
You can keep talking.
Thank you for interrupting me.
You can keep talking.
No. Okay.
Find all of our hijinks at our hub website, castranger.podbean.com. Please check out our YouTube channel, which will have a custom URL shortly if their fucking claim system ever starts working again. Check out our Patreon. Please consider donating, pledging to help us make the show better for you. And of course, check out our Cast Ranger Facebook page for all the meme-y goodness.
He's Blue Caster. He's Red Caster.
Mm. I like that you're saying he and not
no,
not.
I am Castro Caster.
Pink Castro.
He's Pink Castro. I'm Yellow Caster. If North Caster was here, I would be like, he's North Caster. And we all wish you a wonderful Merry Christmas.
I don't.
And
whatever other holidays you may celebrate.
Yeah, happy holidays in general.
No.
A crazy Kwanzaa, a tip-top Tet,
nope.
And a solemn, dignified Ramadan.
No, happy something.
Merry everybody!
Merry Rockmas.
See you in 2017.
Bye.
Woo!